Hi, and welcome to the SEO podcast. I figure that repeated. I should repeat that. To the SEO podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, one of the owners of EWR Digital.
And my name is Matt Bertram. I'm the lead strategist here at EWR Digital.
And we are having, we had a slight technical glitch, but it was nothing. It was kind of fun. We had fun with it. welcome back to another fun-filled edition of our podcast. This is podcast number 527. I missed out on 526. I hear it was good. I hear you're talking like technical stuff.
Yeah, we were just talking hosting stuff. I didn't really have a roadmap and I need to talk into the mic.
Yes.
Into the mic. Can everybody hear me? All right.
Yes.
So yeah. Yeah, we just had a conversation. I was going from one meeting to the next and we just kind of jumped in it and started talking about hosting and issues related to that. Maybe we should have had a little bit more of an agenda, but hopefully people got some value because we had William on and he was going into some technical things. Yes, he was.
William is one smart cat, that is for sure. Remember, Matt and I are broadcasting live from Houston, Texas, and as part of your results-driven agency, EWR Digital.
I like that. And you can tell that we're live because we don't edit anything out and all kinds of bloopers. Yeah.
Literally from day one of this podcast, I was like, we have a zero edit policy because I know that editing can be a black hole of time. I was actually talking about it earlier today. We're like 3 hours later. Yes, that 10 seconds is done. Let's move on to the next 10 seconds of editing. We wanted to try and avoid that. Plus, I think you get a more authentic version of us knowing, you know, because we're actually live knowing that we're not going to do anything.
We make mistakes and that we're human. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, we're broadcasting that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pushed out there. Hey, we've got a review. This is from Dominique Olson. It is, of course, five stars. It said, started listening to the most recent podcast. I didn't understand anything you guys were talking because SEO digital marketing was completely new to me. Decided to go back to podcast number one, Brave Soul. I mean, this is 527. So I could get a better understanding. Listened to about 75, got a bunch of good information and understanding. Now I jumped to 450. That was still quite a while ago to get more relevant information. My website says from one page to 20. Oh, from
I don't probably know. Ranking in the SERPs from page.
Yeah. So it improved, but he didn't kind of, isn't well defined there. Wouldn't consider myself a pro, but I'm constantly working on content SEO and new info you guys give me. Website is taking off and only started this about 3 weeks ago. Once I get caught up, I'll go back and review the key areas that interest me. Thanks for all the great information and all that you do. Patif to you, Dominique. Yeah. That was like,
wow. Yes,
that's why we do this.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
No, I mean, I think that, you know, somebody that wants to be a sponge and soak up a lot of information and, you know, a lot of the fundamentals are certainly out there and concepts and strategies. By binge listening to our podcasts, you're going to pick up a lot of great information. So,
and we get to share that we are sponsored. We are sponsored by Ahrefs. And let me talk about their free tool. So Ahrefs webmaster tool is powerful and free. Ahrefs created AWT for website owners who can't yet afford a marketing budget for a professional SEO tool, but need organic traffic to their website. Almost 300,000 people signed up for the AWT tool last year. All of them use almost half of Ahrefs' product functionality for free. Matt, you like free?
Yeah, I like free.
I feel like free is good. Seriously, at $0, not even a credit card is required to sign up. That like causes people to hold back sometimes. There is nothing to hold you back. Tech Radar said that AWT makes SEO more accessible to others. We use a lot of tools and we use a lot of expensive tools, and we're very happy to have Ahrefs as a sponsor. We're very happy to be talking about their free set of tools and what a positive impact that can have on the SEO. I mean, the reality is that maybe Dominique is already on the AWT free version and taking advantage of the SEO insights he can get there.
That would be awesome. I think you're so good at that, Chris. I thought you did a great job.
Good. Ahrefs, you're getting your money worth. Good job.
Ahrefs is solid. I like Ahrefs. We use it daily, I would say, probably so.
All right. So we have an article today that we pulled entirely randomly from Search Engine Journal. And the author is, wait, it's Matt Bertram? I feel like that probably wasn't random. It is. Is this your first article in Search Engine Journal or just one of the articles that you've had in Search Engine Journal?
It's one of the articles, but okay. Yeah.
Excellent. So this is 10 enterprise page speed optimizations and implementation tips. Like that says it all. It's really important. This is an article. It was published October 5th. We're bringing it to you November 11th. Like timely, frankly, page speed and optimization is always timely. Like we're always working on that for new clients as they come in. Page speed is a ranking factor. If you aren't optimizing pages to load quickly, you not only miss the opportunity to provide a great experience, but you may not appear high enough in the rankings to even get found at all. I think that's a profound statement. Yeah, you should be focusing on page speed. In fact, you go on to say, it's kind of weird. You go on to say, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't be saying this. Maybe
This is great.
If you're already monitoring page speed, great. You're on the right track. If you're not, then make it a priority to do so. Page speed is so very important. There are plenty of ways to address the slow page speeds. We're going to talk about 10 of them. And then also, I thought I turned that off. Then we're going to talk about how you kind of navigate an enterprise company, right? The dynamics of an enterprise company to get some of these things done. Because, Matt has a lot of experience navigating enterprise level companies and actually getting these things done.
Well, no, it's funny. I tend to write these articles, or I started writing these articles because, and even in my book, right? Like I write kind of like based on the experiences.
What's the title of that book?
Build Your Brand Mania.
That is the title.
I feel like both of us
should have a copy now. I feel like we're amateurs because we don't have the copy of Build Your Brand Mania in our hands.
Yeah, no, but these are legitimate issues that companies are dealing with. And so I'm just expounding upon those issues and highlighting those issues. And if one company, so my next article that's about to come out is actually about like on-page optimization, because I had a client say, why do we have to keep re-optimizing the same page? Like how many times can you optimize that same page? And, the thing is about Google, based on the search, based on the keyword, I'm getting a little feedback, but
yeah. It's okay on this end.
Okay, good. But essentially, every time someone does a search based on a different keyword, the algorithm runs a different way and will show up in the search results differently. And so how you move stuff around the page actually makes a big difference. It's kind of like a kaleidoscope, I guess, a little bit, that you got to keep changing it. And that was a really good question. It was something that I wanted to go into further detail. So that's actually my next part of that coming out of Search Engine Journal.
So I like the phrase, you call them as you see them, or you write them as you experience them. Is that?
I said that?
No, I called them as I see them is like an old kind of famous thing.
Well, the grammar wasn't, I just,
you're like, I'm pretty sure my editor caught that. I don't think that you, that slipped through the cracks. No, like you're in the throes of, in this case, navigating an enterprise business and getting page speed optimized. And you're like, well, let's write an article about that because it's, you know, it took up a couple of months of my life to make this happen. So there's probably other people out there who need to be aware of it and how to deal with it. So awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. There are 10. Number one is leverage browser caching. When a user visits your site, the client and server begin a resource exchange. Data from your website, typically static assets like logos, styles, backgrounds, and images, download to the user's hard drive and are stored there for a predetermined period of time. Initially, this process eats up bandwidth. However, when the data is cached, that information is already available. So let's say you go to page two, you don't need, and if you've properly cached the website, you pull down the logo on the homepage. So when you're on that second page, you don't need to download that logo anymore. This leads to faster load times and much better experiences for users. And you do have to take the time to define these factors. How long should the logo stay resident? You may want to cache content that rarely changes for up to a year, or you can use e-tags to make conditional cache requests when content changes. Matt, e-tag, what was an e-tag again?
Well, like you're, like if you're on mobile or something like that, it's just kind of the tracking tags. So
it tracks how long or it, making sure that the content's actually up to date, right? It's the latest and greatest version. So that's number one, leverage browser caching. Number two is clean up code. That seems so easy, right? Just, hey, have the team clean up the code.
No, I mean, on WordPress, like if you're using a visual builder or something, there's a lot of sometimes heavy code in there. And I mean, going back to the beginning days of the internet, like people hard coded websites in HTML, right? And so very clean code most of the time. And so these WordPress websites are pretty heavy. You know, there's like PHP, there's a lot of stuff that it doesn't necessarily need. And that's something that you should even look at, like certainly even with plugins, which we'll guess later, have different weights, you know? And so, you know, these are just things to consider. How heavy is your website? Like, what are all the elements that have to load, that sort of thing? So
you say search engines, especially Google, rely on many factors to determine a site's ranking. One of the most important is crawlability, or how easily it can access and crawl the content on your site. Because enterprise, I like what you brought to the forefront here, because you don't become an enterprise organization overnight. Like it takes a while to be enterprise level. Because enterprises often have a long digital history, their foundational website coding can be outdated, inefficient, or littered with unintended errors that accumulate over time. Though time-consuming, a thorough audit of your code helps you identify issues and address them as necessary. And yes, they're necessary to address because Google, you want Google to be able to crawl your website easily.
Legacy issues are real. They're real.
All right. Number three is enable server-side compression. So your web server may be fast and your own internet connection may be fast, but you want to plan for people accessing your website on a slower 4G or even 3G cell phone connection. And maybe your target market is like even slower than that. Enable server-side compression with algorithms like Brotli or Gzip makes it easy to compress those assets so that they are less of a burden for both your server and the user. I put just the comment, do it. Like, do server-side compression. Figure out what you need to make that happen because it speeds up your site.
Or reach out to cohosta.com.
Where that's part of what we do with SEO focused hosting. All right. Number four, get a content delivery network. So content delivery networks, also referred to as content distribution networks, are often also referred to as content distribution networks. When you use a CDN, a group of geographically distributed servers will work together to quickly deliver site content, reducing load times and bandwidth consumption. As an added bonus, in some cases, the CDNs can also add a layer of security to data transfers. While that won't help with page speed, it can benefit brand reputation and integrity efforts. I don't know if you wanted to kind of expound on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like something like Cloudflare are incredibly valuable from even a security standpoint, because someone can't attack your website directly. It's kind of like a mirror that it's shining off it. And so when you're doing kind of drive-by hacking, you know, it protects you. But yeah, I mean, something like Cloudflare, we recommend for all our clients, or, you know, the big players, Amazon, Azure, all have comparable products. But for most people, WordPress, Cloudflare, excellent choice to look into it. So,
yeah. And I can tell you, Cloudflare is easy to use. All right, number five, avoid landing page redirects. So redirects are commonplace, but that doesn't mean they're ideal. They can be particularly troublesome for SEO. I've heard kind of estimates that each time you're doing a redirect, you may lose 15% of your link juice. So like, try not to do them. And then you gave these tips. Before you use a redirect, here are some things to consider. Use the correct redirect, though 302, 301, and 307 redirects will all move from one URL to the preferred one. They aren't created equally. If you use the wrong one, the crawlers might not crawl them correctly. Avoid redirect chains. That's where you're like redirecting from one to the next, to the next, to the next. Again, if you're losing 15% of link juice, it doesn't take very long where that link from a reputable source, maybe a high DA website, is no longer of value because you've redirected it so many times. Don't do that. And use responsive layouts, which can cut down on unnecessary mobile landing page redirects. I think that's related to kind of an older scheme, which you still see every now and then, where there was actually a mobile version of the website as opposed to a responsive version of the website.
The M dot. Right. And yeah. Every time we would build a landing pages, we would have to build two of them. Right. And certainly there's a lot of tools out there like Unbounce that still offer those services. I think they're nice in some formats. Certainly if you're going to be doing that on WordPress, you need to understand that it can mess up your headers. Right. And so sometimes Google will look at the headers that maybe you're showing for mobile and then for desktop, and then it'll look like you have two sets of headers that are duplicate. So you need to be looking out for that. But yeah, I think that 301s, 302s are really, really important. We actually had a website that you referred to one of your friends that had a bunch of daisy chain redirects, and it slowed down the website like when we looked at it, because it didn't go directly to the right source. I think there was a series of three redirects. And when we fixed that, we took the website from, I think, 8 or 9 seconds to under 3, just by fixing the redirects. So, yeah.
Yeah. This is an article about 10 enterprise page speed optimization and implementation tips. One of them is don't daisy chain your redirects. All right, next, number six, use lazy loading. So traditionally, web page content, especially images, they're loaded simultaneously. This may seem efficient, but when it comes to page speed, the opposite is true. Site users have to wait a longer time for all of the content to load. Lazy loading prioritizes content based on what the user will see and or interact with first. The common question here is, does that affect page load metrics? Meaning, yeah, you've been lazy. You've loaded the things that the user is going to interact with, is going to see first, but you're still loading. If you do it right, the answer is that it doesn't negatively impact the numbers that you're getting. So even though the page isn't completely loaded, you'll receive full credit for the load page once the above the fold content is visible to the user. That's also called the largest contentful paint.
Yes. for sure. That's what every, but you know, there's arguments on like, you know, is that gonna work or not? I would just say, when you're setting it up, you know, if it doesn't negatively affect the user experience, right? Like of like where you're going to click and where stuff's going to load. And, you know, how, like sometimes when you're going to a website, you're trying to click on a button and everything's moving. Right. And so, you build out, hey, this is, where that image is going to be. And it's maybe a little fuzzy or something like that. I think it improves the overall user experience because, while it's loading, the visitor knows that something's happening, right? Like the worst thing is like when you click on the link and then like nothing's happening because it's all loading at the same time. And you don't even know if the website's working and you're seeing the little,
maybe it's broken. You
know, yeah. You're like, I don't know what's going on, but this way things keep happening. Things keep loading. It's in the right place. And they know that there's going to be something there. And I'm a big fan of it. If you set it up properly, because you know, not everything needs to load in that order, and you want to kind of look from the server side. Okay, how, you know, what needs to load when, right? So,
yep, absolutely. All right, number 7, improve server response time. So there are two crucial aspects to addressing server response time. And maybe there's one kind of overriding one, which is have a really awesome server that's responsible for serving the content, right? So it's doing a good job. But one of the aspects you also need to address is to use static page caching. So static page caching is where when you think in terms of like a CRM, right? CMO. Content management system, CMS, CRM. When you think in terms of a content management system, you're looking at something like WordPress is constantly doing calculations to display the page for you, right? So it's saying, hey, let me grab the footer. Let me grab the header. Maybe let me grab this image from the media file. Let me do all of this stuff to actually send to the server. That's all on the server side. So you want to use server-side caching where it puts together that page. If that page doesn't change very often, then you want to store that version of that page, and then you're just feeding that page. You don't have to recalculate that page every time. So that's one aspect.
Well, so a little bit more on server, like make sure you have a server close to where your customers are, right? So it doesn't have to go around the world. And then, you know, shared hosting versus like semi-dedicated or dedicated hosting, depending on, I mean, that's a whole separate ball of wax. But there's a lot of stuff that you need to think about on the server side of things, and really where your website's being hosted should be one of the first things that you figure out, and where you should put the most attention, from the security to the maintenance, to the speed. That is something that I think people bypass a lot. So people spend thousands of dollars on SEO when maybe they need to focus on some server maintenance, right? Yeah. And speeding up their website. And that's where you get your biggest bang for your buck. And that's what I always recommend people do first. So
yeah. Well, it's really the reason why we put together Cohosta, right? Like that is the reason.
Yes.
The second aspect for a lot of websites, and really that's websites using PHP, that includes WordPress, Joomla, a lot of websites are using PHP, is to ensure that the web hosting provider servers allow for a persistent opcode cache, right? So this is gets into more details, but it's related to how PHP applications run, how they show human readable code, and you want to be able to cache that piece of the code. So that's persistent opcode cache. Sometimes we get technical on here. If you've ever seen a site that's extremely fast, right up until you get to the checkout part, it's usually due to this missing component. So take care of that component also.
Yeah, no, Search Engine Journal wants you to get more technical than like Forbes or somewhere else. So gotta give them a little bit more meat. You know what
you
I mean?
Gotta be fancy. Gotta be fancy. Is that it?
Yeah.
Number 8, optimize site media. And this is kind of obvious. And, you know, we could argue that should be number 1 if people were going through this list, right? Because it is where you can get some really big, you know, bang for your buck. And this goes to, if you're using images or video, make sure that they aren't larger than necessary. Make sure they're appropriately formatted. Make sure that they compress visual assets to decrease load time. I can't tell you how many times we had a customer, we built a website for them. It's in WordPress so that they can manage it themselves. And then they would come back 3 months and they're like, my website is crawling. And you like go there, and this is gonna, you know, a little slower internet days, but you know, the opening image would just load like one pixel row at a time. It's like, you have a 10 meg image for like, that's crazy. You don't use a big image like that. It's not necessary. So make sure you optimize that.
I mean, it sounds like a no-brainer, and you'd be surprised even today how many people are not doing that, right? So there's a process when you upload websites. So, you know, anytime we build a website, if they're taking, they have internal people that are taking over their marketing or to do it, we really do some corporate training, and we lay out, you know, the steps that you would go through to compress an image. Because, you know, if you run Lighthouse, you can typically see, man, images are not compressed. How many times? I mean, the mobile phone images are massive, right? I don't even know how big they are, but people will just take an image and upload it, and they don't.
Oh, you mean the pictures people take with mobile phones?
Those images
are massive. Yeah.
Those are massive images.
Yep.
Okay. I guess from a picture quality standpoint, they have to be, but people will just take those images and upload them to a website. Or they'll take, you know, like no one's thinking about size or compression. Like if you're building a portfolio, if you're adding, you know, people on your About Us page. I mean, there's so many reasons why people might be uploading stuff or with the blogs, whatever it is, but they're not compressing the images. And it sounds like a no-brainer. It sounds like a duh, but man, like I can tell you, it happens more times than not.
Yeah. So. Yep. All right. Number 9, improve HTML and CSS structure. HTML and CSS that have not been optimized will increase page weight or the size of your page. Does that mean that you need to have someone go page by page manually reviewing code? No. There are some great tools out there, CSS Minify, Dirty Markup, that can automate the process of revising the code and optimizing it. So make sure you take advantage of those tools.
Yeah. And that just goes back to the builders that I was talking about in the beginning. You know, how they're built sometimes, you know, you might not need, whatever, a Lamborghini to drive around like Houston in bumper traffic, right?
Of
like,
course so, you do.
Well, I mean, if you have a Tesla, you know, so, but you know, sometimes you get built out on the programming side a lot more than you need. And so depending on your website, it might not be using some of that functionality. And so it's better to like go in and like turn it off or not have it load because it helps speed it up. Like you want your website as light as possible. So
absolutely. All right. And number 10, again, 10 enterprise page speed optimization and implementation tips. This, and we bump into this so often with new clients, themes and plugins. When it comes to creating an integrated experience for both front-end and back-end users, themes and plugins can be a real value. But you got to be aware, some can create significant page lag. Don't get rid of all those third-party assets. Instead, only use plugins and themes from a reputable source. Make sure you're using the latest version and make sure that you keep the amount of them that you use to a minimum. When you add new plugins or themes to a page, always closely monitor page speed to quickly identify if there are any issues caused by that new plugin or that new theme or increased bounce rates or unsatisfied users. Man, we bump into theme and plugin issues all the time.
Well, people just add plugins, right? They go to the marketplace and they're like, oh, this is cool. And they add all this to it. And then they don't take that code off, or they don't keep it updated. So it becomes like security risks. You know, and a lot of this stuff on here, like cleaning up code or something like that, sometimes you do need to hire like a software engineer or someone to go in and kind of look at some of that stuff and clean it up. Not everything that you can do is on your own. Sometimes there's heavy lifting, but certainly trying to keep plugins to a minimum, making sure that they're updated, making sure that they don't break anything is incredibly important. I can tell you that's something we see a lot too, is people come to us and we're like, why do you have all these plugins, right? And it's, again, that legacy component that, you know, they maybe used it in the past and they no longer use it, and it's just still there. I mean, look at a lot of people's desktops, you know, of things that they've downloaded or what have you. I mean, you want to keep it as clean as possible for Google to, and for load time, and et cetera. So.
You don't want it to look like my browser, because my browser usually has like 100 open tabs. You don't want that. You don't want that mess. And this, again, is, and you've touched on this, is tied into enterprise, where it's the legacy of things. Like, so maybe you had to add a plugin in order to get your 301 redirects. And so you got a 301 redirect plugin, but now you've got an SEO tool that handles the 301 redirects, and you should have uninstalled the 301 redirect tool, but you didn't get around to it.
Or do them manually. Or you can manually code them. I mean, that you want to use plugins. You if you don't have to use a plugin, don't use a plugin. Like, I mean, there's schema plugin. I mean, there's so much stuff out there, but what I can tell you is, on the enterprise side, it's just incredible how these websites are still going sometimes, right? you know, as people transition from brick and mortar to e-commerce, the website becomes a lot more interactive, especially with Web 2 to Web 3. I mean, so I think that there's going to be a huge kind of upgrade here. But I mean, look, I had an enterprise client come to me. They had 16 brands that they were managed on different CMSs. They were using different marketing agencies. Some were hosted in different places. I mean, it was like we had to build an 18-month plan to figure out, you know, how one or two people internally can manage all these things. And, you know, it was just a lot of, like, over time we did this. And then, you know, based on this use case, we did this. And you know, if you've had a website for any length of time, you're going to start seeing that, right? And really, you need to be upgrading your websites every couple of years or when new technology comes to the forefront. I think one of the biggest analogies, people are like, well, why can't you just update it? And it sometimes, you know, depending on the issue, but it's kind of like, you know, there was cameras, right, that were 1080p or whatever, and then 4K came out. Like, hey, turn this camera that's 1080p or whatever into 4K. Like, how do you do that? Like, sometimes you can't. Like, you just have to go buy a new one, you know?
You need to go buy the 4K one.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So this last section, really, I want Matt to talk, and I'll give him a couple talking points, but you want him to talk about managing internal hurdles in an SEO, in an enterprise SEO situation. So let's talk about this. I mean, you wrote about this, but let's talk about, you got to have a clear and compelling value statement. You got to be systematic and purposeful with your requests. You got to maybe consider adding a developer to your marketing team. So, right. So that might be a message directly to an enterprise level. Hey, if you got a marketing team, maybe you need a developer there that the company trusts to have access to a kind of server level stuff. And then identify a liaison or a dedicated IT department member to work with the marketing department. So talk about that a little bit, like working in the environment of an enterprise enterprise level company with, you know, SEO strategies and really kind of page speed optimization strategies.
Well, I think SEO is something that you have to start building into the culture. Okay. And typically at an enterprise level company, you have different domains. IT might be over this, marketing might be over this, and you got to figure out where that line is. And you got to understand how to get approvals through or to get access to different resources or programmers to get certain things accomplished. You have to work, you know, cross-functioning with teams. You've got to get approvals. And so it really goes back to like a culture of SEO. And really, if you have like one or two people internally at an organization, it's very, very difficult to be able to do you know, SEO for the whole company. And a lot of times that seems to be the case. Really what you have to do is teach people about how to kind of incorporate that into what they're doing and how important it is in the bigger picture. I mean, really SEO is digital PR, which is just general branding. I think that SEO over time is going to probably fade as like a SEO specialist. And it's just going to be like marketers that understand like SEO is, I think, where it's probably going to go. And there's not going to be like these specialist, like a PPC specialist and, you know, a social media specialist. It's going to be really, you're a digital marketer that you utilize these different tools together to build whatever that strategy is. And so that's the biggest tip I would give people out there dealing with maybe some red tape or at an enterprise level company, is you have to try to get people to understand it from a cultural standpoint of, this is what we do and this is important. And that's done through education. So,
yeah, no, that makes sense. There can be hurdles, not just technical with an enterprise website, right? One that's kind of evolved and has legacy issues. There are legacy issues in how communication can work inside. And now you're throwing in a new thing. You look at traditional marketing and how often traditional marketing is like, let's get really creative, let's throw a lot of money at this, and then, yeah, it'll probably work, right? Where, and then you bring a digital marketer into it and you're like, hey, so I spent $10 and I made 50. Do you want me to do that again? Or do you want me to try some other strategy where the data is so available and important?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest bridge from traditional to digital is the data analytics and being able to know what is happening and how to make decisions based upon what's happening in the data. A lot of times you run a TV ad or a billboard or a radio ad and you're like, yeah, I think this is going to go great, right? And then you run it and you're done, right? But you can get data in real time and you can make adjustments and you can optimize. And the data is power, right? And that's just, I think, what I fell in love with digital marketing is you can do something and then you can immediately see what's happening, how people are interacting with it, and then go through those iterations to improve it. And that's typically how you can take the, you know, for your analogy of the 10 bucks and make 50, right? That might not happen right out of the gate, right? That's continuously optimizing it. But again, whether it's through ad dollars or SEO, the return on investment with digital is phenomenal. And just in today's culture and how, you know, online is your first foot forward. A lot of businesses, I think with COVID, everything got expedited. They kind of woke up to digital first, mobile first, right? So
even in that 10 to 50 example, I mean, hey, I spent $10 and I made a dollar. Here are the changes I think we need to make in order to do it better. Like, you just don't have that with a billboard. You know, you typically don't have that with the, you know, traditional marketing. And so they are different types of conversations, and it's about that kind of updating the legacy conversation.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
All right. So that wraps up our podcast. We would like you to leave us a review. I want to give a big patif to the author. Wait, let me look that up again. Where was that author? Oh, that's right. It's me, Matt. It's you. Thank you. Good article. Well done, sir. Also want to give a big patif to Dominique Olson. Thank you for taking the time to write that review. Thank you for going back and listening to 75 plus podcasts and then starting at 450 to get all the way to 527. We really appreciate you. Hopefully anybody else out there who's getting some value, you can leave us a review. Also go to ewrdigital.com /review. That will get you directly to our GMB, so you can leave us a review. Please make that
five stars. You know, also if you're dealing with an issue, right, you can reach out to our agency, ewrdigital.com. You can set up a free discovery call with one of our digital marketers, we would love to talk to you. So
you will get value out of that call. Like, we have a lot of testimonials just from the value from that initial free consultation. So we love to leave people with lots of value, like why we're doing this podcast. So leave that review, and then I don't know, that's good enough. Just leave a review there. Oh, you could just go to our facebook.com/best SEO podcast and leave a review there. Until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burris.
My name is Matt Bertram.
Bye-bye for now.